I'm sure most of you will be going back and starting that wonderful ritual of giving and receiving gifts. I know that a lot of us have different family rituals. Some of us will open the gifts tonight, and others of us will wait till the morning. And maybe some of you have already exchanged gifts. But regardless of what happens tonight in the next several hours, I wish all of you peace and joy and love, and that all of you will have a joyful time of giving and receiving gifts. And by that I mean I hope none of you get a fruitcake. I'm not sure why, but the fruitcake has become one of the most vilified, most despised symbols in all of our Christian rituals together. Now, no offense to any of you who like fruitcakes. I don't want to know who you are, but my family, my brothers and I, just hated these things, and we still do. But as it turns out, every single Christmas, my dad would come home with one of these from his co-workers, and inevitably it would wind up in the same place, right in the middle of the dining room table. And my brothers would sit on the chairs, and we would just stare at it for what seemed like hours. And one of us would even muster up enough courage to even unwrap the thing. And one of us would poke it and touch it and see if it moved. One of us would even work up the courage to perish the thought, even take a bite. And then we would just kind of throw it up and then just throw the whole thing away. I'm sure that you've all heard the fable that there is actually only one fruitcake in the entire world, and that it somehow recycles itself and circulates from family to family to family. It originated sometime in the Middle Ages and even exists today. Maybe some of you have even taken a turn at seeing it and then giving it on to someone else. I've heard it several times, mostly by me. The phrase that in the event of a nuclear holocaust, there will only be three things that survive: cockroaches, Tupperware, and that one fruitcake. In fairness to the Christmas cake, it has been around for a long time, so we must at least say it's got some staying power. Yeah, it really does. And rightfully so. It enjoys a wonderful, rich history, and I don't know if any of you know fully the history of the fruitcake. It goes back even as far as Roman times, and it was made as a celebration of the harvest. And so that is why you find in these things, things like fruits and nuts and bolts and plywood and everything else, to symbolize the bounty of the harvest. In medieval England, it was used to celebrate the Christmas season. And it was made, actually, year-round, in England to begin with, as sort of a long-term food source. They made it for travelers, for sailors, for hunters, because the cake was so dense, and it could go a long, long way, especially when it was thrown. By the 1700s, the practice of making fruitcakes became a holiday tradition, and that's kind of how we have learned to celebrate it now. Because it's so dense, one of the traditions that took place was that the people who made it would hide little things in it. Things like a bean and a pea. One bean and one pea in every fruitcake. And when it was ready to be devoured on Christmas Eve or towards the end of Christmas, the man who found the bean would become king of the day. And the one who found the woman who found the pea would become queen for the day. I'm not sure what happened when the man found the pea and the woman found the bean, but maybe we could ask somebody who did that. These traditions are all fine and good, but they don't make me like the fruitcake anymore, to be honest with you. But there is one thing about the fruitcake that I want to share with you that is meaningful to me, that makes it special to me, and reminds me of what Christmas is really, really, truly about. This past week, I went through as many cookbooks as I could find to see how fruitcakes are made, and I have to tell you that there are lots and lots of ways to make fruitcakes. Different ingredients, different instructions, different flavors, different types. But the one thing I discovered is that every recipe had something in common. That when you take the fruitcake out of the oven, in order to let it cool, you have to take the pan that it was in and flip it over so that the fruitcake flops onto the cooling rack and so that the bottom of the fruitcake becomes the top. And the top of the fruitcake becomes the bottom. And in order to make a fruitcake, you got to turn it upside down. You got to flip it onto its belly. You got to make it right side up. The bottom becomes the top. The top becomes the bottom. And only then can the fruitcake be cooled and enjoyed by many people. Long ago, on a night like tonight, the world got turned upside down. A precious gift was sent to us from God in heaven above. A gift so pure and so innocent that it came to us in the form of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. A gift for each of us to enjoy, to worship, and to share. A gift that, like the fruitcake, would stand the test of time when God came down at Christmas. Since the beginning of time, human beings have tried to reach God. Since the Tower of Babel, people have been trying their hardest to climb the heavenlies, to become like God, to enter heaven by scaling a ladder of their own merits and their own works. Many have tried, but none have succeeded. We here at the bottom cannot reach the top. We cannot climb heaven's heights. We cannot rise up to God's glory on our own. We cannot establish for ourselves the relationship with God that we desperately need and desperately want. We can't go from the bottom to the top. So God took the top and came down to us. On Christmas, God did it for us. God in the heavenlies became God among the earthly. God who was fully divine became fully human. God on the top became God on the bottom. El Shaddai became Emmanuel. Hear the words of Philippians 2, 5 through 8. The words of Paul, who said, "Let the mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. He took the form of a slave. He became born in human likeness, and being made in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." And so this Christmas, Jesus, the baby Christ, comes to us to turn our lives, our world, upside down. We live in a world where the powerful are on the top, and the lowly and the despised are on the bottom, on the fringe, on the outside. Our priorities have placed power and money and greed and selfish ambition and grief and misery and sorrow at the top, and love and goodwill and peace and nonviolence and respect and acceptance at the very bottom. We live that way without even knowing it. We relate that way without even realizing it. Brothers and sisters, perhaps this Christmas you might celebrate it the way it was meant to be celebrated, by letting Jesus Christ turn your world upside down again, by inviting him into your life for the first time or once again into your life to turn your life around, to get you back on the path to glory, to help you remove the guilt from the mistakes of your past, to teach you to love God, to teach you to love each other, to teach you to climb heaven's heights in a way that you cannot do on your own, to lead you on the road that leads to heaven once again. This Christmas, let Jesus turn your life upside down. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.